From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is the 5th day of March, 2013. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll take a look back at the USDA's Ag Forum that took place in Washington, D.C. the last few days of February with Jackie Vakes at Stuart Peterson from right here in Champaign County and John Robinson, farmer from Monticello, Illinois. Both were in attendance in D.C. and we'll discuss with them their thoughts of the program and whether or not producers would be well-intentioned to make a trip to Washington, D.C., in the future. It all happens right here on this Tuesday afternoon edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. You can find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Well, no numbers for you this afternoon from the CME Group or the Kansas City Board of Trade as I'm out hosting an event. If you're not at the event, you can always catch up with us later this week. On Wednesday, I'll be in Lincoln, Illinois at the Logan County Fairgrounds, the Extension Building there, along with Gary Schnitke and Pete Manhart and Jackie Vakes for our Ag Outlook panel. That one starts at 7 o'clock in the evening, March the 6th. It's a Wednesday in Lincoln, Illinois. Sponsor is Logan County Farm Bureau. And the Farm Credit Services will host a show for us in Jacksonville at Hamilton's. That's at 110 Northeast Street. That's Hamilton's, 110 Northeast Street, on Thursday of this week. Registration for that event opens at 6 o'clock. You do not have to be pre-registered, but registration opens at 6. There's a dinner at 6:30. And then at 7 o'clock, I'll host a panel along with Gary Schnitke and Jackie Vakes again. And this time around, Matt Bennett and Mike Zuzulo will join us. That's at Hamilton's in Jacksonville on Thursday evening. The sponsor for the event is Farm Credit Services. On the 11th of March next week, we'll be right here in Champaign County at the Farm Bureau Building. Dave Dickey will host that program. Has not released the names of who will be along with him, but I'll bet it'll be another good program. That's at the Champaign County Farm Bureau Building, 7 o'clock on Monday, March the 11th. And then on Wednesday the 13th, up at Celebrations in LaSalle, Illinois, Dave will be there along with Jackie Vakes and Mike Zuzulo and Kurt Kimmel. That's in LaSalle at 6 o'clock on March the 13th. Jackie Vakes, Mike Zuzulo, Kurt Kimmel, and Dave Dickey will be at Celebrations. It's all part of the programming here that goes along with what's happening on our radio station. You can find it all at willag.org.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
Hey, have you been to our website recently? If not, you should go. We've updated it, and it really looks great on your phones and your tablets and your PCs. It's at willag.org. There you'll find all of our daily agricultural programming. It's posted not long after it airs on our radio stations. Some links to our subscription service for the weekend newsletter. It's really easy to get on and off that list over on the right-hand side of the page. Either hit subscribe or unsubscribe. It has our Commodity Week program and its archives. So you can go back just, well, as far as you'd like, pretty much, in that particular program. And Ag Notes. It's kind of a blog of sorts where I post what's been happening. For instance, you might find something from Gary Schnitke or Daryl Good or the latest television piece that I produced for the College of Agricultural, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences. It's all at willag.org. That's our brand new website. We've updated the website, that is, and you should go visit it today.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit of Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agriculture industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. This is a special Tuesday afternoon edition. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. The end of the month of February brought with it the USDA Ag Forum in Washington, D.C. A listener and one of our regular analysts both attended that forum. I sat down with them late last week to talk about what they saw and heard and what they think might be valuable to farmers here in the Midwest. John Robinson, farmer from Monticello, Illinois, annually makes the trek to Washington, D.C. for the Ag Forum. He believes it's one of the most important events of the year for him.
Well, I learned a long time ago, you know, and before I went to the very first time, I would always read these articles in the Agri News or whatever paper and TVs and radio shows about all these people referencing the Outlook Forum. And I'm sitting there going, well, you know, that sounds like the place I need to be going. I mean, you get actually one-on-one, you know, with analysts that works for USDA. And it was just a haphazard decision, I guess, because I thought, well, I'll just go. And, you know, I didn't know what to expect. I didn't know what, you know, how this all worked. I mean, I've gone to D.C. before when I was on an advisory committee. So, you know, going to the airport, going on the metro, you know, finding different things, was a big deal. But the wealth of information that you got out of this is what was real surprising.
Things like what over the years that you've learned?
Well, I'll give you a good example. One year, well, it was just last year, and we were talking about the first crop, second crop of corn coming out of Brazil. And then they're talking about the corn crop coming out of Argentina. And then all of a sudden, there was this 5 million ton of corn that was magically appearing out of Argentina. And I was thinking about that, you know, working in the fields and stuff. And then I remembered that there was a guy from Argentina at the Outlook Conference, and he was one of the featured speakers, and he was talking about Argentinian production. And he was showing all these pastures that were plowed up, and he talked about all these cattle that have been gone and how everybody is, you know, raising corn and soybeans. And all of a sudden it hits me that this is where all this extra production is coming from. So all of a sudden then you realize that this 5 million ton of corn is true. So what are people are talking about? It's probably true because you hear of all kinds of information when you're marketing. And I'm saying, well, that's true because the guy was talking about that.
Well, you're a policy wonk of sorts, I think. You like the policy sorts of things. But you believe not just you should go, that all farmers should go.
Oh, yeah. I think, it's not expensive. I mean, you have your operating line, and to tell you the truth, it costs around $1,000 to go. And that's airfare, hotel room, and the fee to the conference, because the government doesn't put this on for free. And when you look at $1,000, I know $1,000 is a lot of money. But in the grand scale of our operating budget, it's not. I mean, you can walk out of a, you know, implement dealer with $1,000 worth of parts in a paper bag. I mean, that's, you know, you have to put it in perspective. The wealth of information that you get is not going to return you money. I mean, you go, say, on a Thursday and Friday. On Monday morning, are you going to be a better marketer? No. But it's going to give you basic information that they're talking about that you can use in the future. And it all changes. So, I mean, you just can't go for that one time and say, well, this is what's going to be for the whole year. I mean, things change over the year, you know, that you're talking about. But the policy, I mean, you can see the policy. You can hear about what people are thinking, you know, and, you know, the discussion that other people, because this is not just a farm event, non-farm. I mean, there's a lot of non-farm people go there. Last year, they were 1,700 people there. And there's people all over the world from France, Europe. People are thinking about school lunches, you know, WIC programs, all that, you know, and it's really amazing when you get all this overview. Then you get all these people's opinions about food production. And so, I mean, this is what you have to keep in mind if you're expanding or you want to do things on your farm. So you've got to keep this all in perspective, and this gives you this is the perspective that you can get to understand what's happening out there. Because, you know, we get pretty isolated out here on the farm. And, you know, we have all of our media, all of our, you know, things that we listen to. That can be sort of one-sided. So you need to go into this area and listen to what other people are saying. And sometimes these people are saying pretty scary things about agriculture. And so you need to know what's coming down maybe in 4 or 5 years, 10 years. And, you know, it makes a big difference on your farming operation.
How many times have you been, do you know?
I think five or six times.
Jackie Vakes from Stuart Peterson is with us as well. She's not been 5 or 6 times. She made her very first trip this year.
It was amazing. I went primarily because for a long time, I think for 7 years already, I've been going up to Chicago to the USDA Data Users Meeting. And I always found it to be very insightful and very helpful as far as helping my clients better understand what's going on and all of our listeners better understand what's going on. But going to the Ag Forum was amazing from the standpoint that you have access to people there, Mr. Vilsack, Mr. Glauber, who is the chief economist. You can talk to all of those people, and they're very open about everything. But I thought what it did for me was it really broadened my perspective. I'm a big one who always talks about this is a world market, okay? But at the same time, and it definitely was world. I was sitting next to a lady from Indonesia, from Banda Aceh, where they had the big tsunami, and she was there representing them. And at the same time having a discussion, we got into this discussion about how rubber is so short. And a farmer who was sitting near to us said, that's why tire prices are going up so much. And who would have really thought about that? You didn't. But you have all of these people who come together who have an interest in agriculture. And I think it just makes you all of a sudden see how important it is in the world. And I'm quite sure I'm going to go back every year now after having gone this year. I got to see some. I went to a meeting about the inland waterways, and I just, you know, we think about the waterways, but do we really think about what it means for us? And do we, you know, we always approach the politicians from the perspective of this is ag related, okay? This is just ag related, but it isn't just ag related. It is an economic driver for the whole United States. It's an employer for the United States, and it's extremely important to all of us who are in agriculture because we need to move these products on the barges and everything else. But how do we get Congress to understand that? And how do we get the general public to understand that? And I came away from this meeting with some very strong ideas about how to try and get that into the press and do different things to be able to. And to me, that was just amazing.
Why'd you make the decision to go to in the first place?
Well, I've always heard about it. I've read about it. The people that I met from USDA encouraged me to be there because I'm not real shy. You know, I'm not afraid to walk up to someone and ask them a question or come up with an idea or make a comment about something. And so I felt that I needed to do this not just for me but for all the people that I work with. When I went up to the Chicago meeting for the very first time, I was the only person there who represented production and end-user agriculture. Everybody else that was there were all great big companies and people who really didn't even know what went on down at the actual production level or the manufacturing level in our business. And I've been able to do some things that have been very helpful. And so I felt that this is the next step. This is the proper place to go to.
She mentioned that it was easy to have conversations with the people that were there. Oftentimes, when you go to conferences, it's a one-way communications from the podium to those in the audience. Is that the case at the DC Ag Forum?
No. People are very open. I mean, if you want to be friendly and, you know, introduce yourself, you can have a discussion with somebody, you know, right off. I mean, the very first day I walk into, before the meeting even started, I sat down to the next guy. And I say, hello, I'm Joe Blow from such and such, and I'm a farmer from Illinois. And the guy goes, oh, you too? And he goes, yeah. And he says, well, where do you farm? He says, oh, I farm in Bolivia. And so here's this guy sitting next to me, And I, of course, you know, start two farmers start talking. You know, he's a little broken English, but, you know, you can understand. And I go, a typical farm question. I go, well, how much do you farm? And he goes, 30,000 hectares. And I go, well, see, that, and I'm trying to do the calculation. I said, well, that's probably what, about 70,000 acres? And he goes, well, yeah, I guess. And so we start talking about, I said, well, are you dry? And, you know, we start talking about crops and everything. So here's this guy. He has found value of coming clear from Bolivia. He farms, even though he farms, you know, basically 70,000 acres. And he comes and he finds value into this conference. So, you know, people are very friendly. You know, you would think that, you know, ideology and political, I mean, there's none of that. I mean, if you want to be friendly, it's all what you want to put into it. If you want to sit there and not talk to anybody, that's fine. Nobody will talk to you. But if you want to talk to them and be whatever you want to be, you know, there's a lot of people that will talk to you. And especially for farmers, because the first question when I went there, one year I went there, and there was two farmers, because they used to get a paper thing, and it said who you were, what is the organization, and there was two farmers. There was myself and another guy, and all these people were asking me, says, well, why aren't there more farmers here? And I said, well, I don't know. And then I kept asking all these people around. I kept asking some of the ag media. I kept asking, you know, some of the commodity groups. I said, why aren't there more farmers here? And nobody could give me an answer. So it's really interesting that here we are. We have a meeting that is, quote, put on for the farmer, because the first thing that they say says, well, this is for the farmer and all these other people, and yet there's no farmers there. And it's just truly amazing me. So this guy says, well, do you speak for all farmers? And I go, no. I said, I'm just a guy from the Midwest. I said, I'm just here to listen, you know, and talk to other people. And it's amazing the communication that you will get, because, you know, during that summer, I had two guys, two major Wall Street people down on the farm looking at the crops, because they were analysts for the ag machinery companies. And so they wanted to know about farm income, what the prices were doing, and what the crops are doing. And so here you have these guys, you know, and they've never been on the farm. And so I grill them some steaks and we talk, and they came with a pretty good idea how agriculture worked after all that.
The microphones are open for you to ask questions.
Oh, at every single event that you go to, the microphones are open, and you can ask questions. The opening ceremony, or the opening when Mr. Vilsack spoke, you know, and Mr. Glauber spoke, and you could ask questions. They didn't really have microphones in there. We had 2,000 people this year, and so that's one thing that it for someone who's shy, it would be kind of intimidating, because you have all of these people from everywhere that are around you. But you can walk up and ask them anything. Now, would I say that they always will answer what you want to hear? Not necessarily, because there's only so much information sometimes that can be given out. But at the same time, they don't hesitate. They take your question, and if they don't answer it the way you want, you can answer again, ask again. But I think you have to recognize that when you're in that arena, that you have to also be respectful of what's going on, because I know from talking to a number of them, they're very concerned about how they're going to be quoted in the paper, how it's going to look, those types of things. And so, and within their own job restrictions, they have to be careful what they say. But, you know, it wasn't just USDA people that were on the panels at all. Not in the least. I mean, they had someone there from the CME. They had Scott Irwin there from the University of Illinois. They had some people there from Cargill. They had people there from the congressional research portion of it. It's really astounding when you sit out there in the audience and you look at the people that come to this to present to you and the information that they will give you. It's like, wow. This is something we really need. And I think it's important, and I agree with John, I think that you need to bridge the gap. Sometimes people just, when they think about farmers, they still think of us in the old way, not necessarily as a farmer being a business person who is going to come and talk for what's going on and do those kinds of things. And the majority of our farmers are business people. It's not like it was in the old days. So I think in order to change that perspective, and to put it in perspective when you're talking about Washington, D.C., you have to always recognize how big a percentage of the voting population are the farmers, okay? So we're talking about a lot of politicians being there. That's why I think it's important for us to take it from a perspective of this affects the entire nation. It just doesn't affect us. We're not just there to look at things for us as agricultural people. We're there to look at the good of the nation because that's what we do. We produce food for everybody.
Does it put data in perspective? And I mean, USDA agencies, governmental agencies often deal with points. Data points. Did it help you to put the data points into perspective of some sort?
There's no question about it. And that's one of the things that the October meeting has always done for me. It helped me to better understand how they formulate the data. They even gave us all of the formulations on how they do it. And that was really comical because someone asked a question of this person who did all the formulas and he couldn't answer in real language because he only knows his formulas. And so, But did it put it in perspective? Absolutely. Like with the numbers that they came out with at that 163.6 for corn, you know, and a 14.5 billion bushel crop, they were very clear about the fact that this is based on good weather, good rain in May, good rain in July for corn, good rain in August and September for beans. And they had in great big letters weather, because in this particular year especially, weather is going to be key. And the other thing they talked about, because they had a regular weather climate seminar you could go to, and I did attend that, and they talked a great deal about how when you look at this particular year, it's really going to be tough to be able to say what's going to happen. And as you move forward, whatever the weather does, we know that the rains right now and the snows that we're having right now have little impact on what's really going to happen during the growing season. It helps us to get everything off and growing. But unless we get timely rains in the really important months, it isn't going to make a difference. And they were very clear about that. And I thought that that was really good because it gives you perspective.
Next year, you promise to call and make me go again?
Yeah. This, you know, the concept of lobbying on this there's no lobbying at all involved. This is a personal, it's not personal, but it's a relationship where you're asking questions, they're giving you answers. You can give you your opinions, but if you're trying to affect policy, there's no, the political people might be there, but they're not going to get into some kind of big politics discussion. Politics is really sort of shoved out the door unless they're talking about farm bills or something like that. But, you know, when you start talking about supply and demand, exports, weather, you know, what's going on with, you know, other kind of policies, farm bill stuff will be talked about, but they will leave the politics out and they will talk about how they got there and different. But there's no lobbying involved. I mean, can you go to somebody and lobby while you're there? Sure. I mean, you can do whatever you want. But at this meeting, there is basically no lobbying or anything like that.
John, I look forward to the phone call from you that says, Todd, go to the Ag Forum in D.C. Thank you for being with us today.
Thank you.
John Robinson is a farmer from Monticello, Illinois. Jackie Vakes, of course, from Stuart Peterson. They joined us here on the Closing Market Report to take up the USDA Ag Forum. Back in just 2 minutes.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
It's National Cheese Doodle Day. The cheese-flavored snack debuted sometime in the 1950s. They were invented at the old London Melba Toast factory in the Bronx when workers discovered a machine that extruded cornmeal in a long air-filled string. They chopped the string into bite-sized pieces and coated it with cheese. By the way, the product has always been baked, not fried. On this day in agricultural history in 1558, Francisco Hernandez supposedly introduced tobacco to Europe. At first, it was grown only as an ornamental plant. It was not until the 1580s that tobacco smoking caught on in Europe with the return of some Virginia colonists. They created a stir by smoking tobacco from pipes. In 1836, on this day, Charles Goodnight was born. He is said to have devised the first chuck wagon from an army wagon in the 1850s or 1860s, with various shelves and compartments for food, equipment, utensils, and medical supplies. In 1893, Emmett J. Culligan was born. He was the founder of the water treatment company that carries his name. And in 1991, on this day, the nation's 5,000,000th patent was issued to Lonnie O. Ingram of the University of Florida. The patent was for a genetically engineered form of the E. coli bacterium that converts plant material into ethanol. It took Ingram and his team 2 years of work and $150,000 to convert almost any biomass into fuel. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. 5 years ago, two University of Illinois ag economists projected a near doubling of cash prices for corn, soybeans, and wheat. They've updated those numbers. I'll have more on the new projections and some of the adjustments they've made.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at adm.com/FarmerView.
It was apparent in 2005 that Congress had institutionalized a structural change in the commodity markets. It's the year this nation focused on renewable energy sources. Primary among them was a fuel made from corn, ethanol. University of Illinois ag economist Scott Irwin and Daryl Good thought then that this new demand base would have more than just a short-term influence on the price of commodities, and, as Daryl Good explains, that it might just kickstart a new price plateau era.
Recognizing that the previous era of prices had lasted something over 30 years, so didn't really try to define how long the new era would last, but trying to get some handle on what might be the average price and distribution of prices in this new era. And for corn, when we looked at Illinois prices, a monthly average, we suggested we might be at in the range of $4.60 as an average, $10.58 for soybeans, and about $5.80 for wheat.
Those projections are pretty close. Daryl Good and Scott Irwin just completed a study looking back at the average Central Illinois prices from December 2006 to December 2012.
The average price in Illinois for corn was $4.74. For soybeans, I think $11.11, and for wheat, $5.88. So the averages were fairly close to what we projected, a little higher than projected for soybeans. The distribution wasn't exactly like we forecast, but close. We did see some very extreme prices during the past 5 years, and that's what previous history would suggest, that you would see a very wide variation around the average.
The next step in the process, says Good, was to look at the evidence and decide if an adjustment to the original projection should be made. And as it turns out, the answer to that question is yes and no.
For corn and wheat, we decided no, that $4.60, $5.80 corn and wheat was about the right expectation. But soybeans, maybe we were a little too conservative. We had forecast soybean prices as a ratio to corn, 2.3 to 1. And I guess the evidence the past 5 years would suggest maybe a higher ratio would be a better expectation. So we would think maybe a 2.4 to 1 ratio, and saying, you know, just a shade over $11 would be maybe a more realistic expectation of an average moving forward on soybeans.
You may read more on this topic from Daryl Good and Scott Irwin online. Look for two articles with New Era in the headline on the FarmDoc Daily website. You've been listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. You can find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. Have a great afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.